Welcome to Public Words Project. We're going to do something a little different today. So, happy Saturday. I actually have a group of wonderful women here. Some of them you've heard in the podcasts, and some you're going to hear in the future podcasts. We are the Sister Cyber Circle. We are women of color who meet once a week and chat about what's going on with us professionally. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about small talk. And we're going to have a group discussion. We're going to see how this goes. But before we start talking about small talk, I'd like for each person to go around and introduce yourself, your name, and what you do.
Hi, I'm Darren Kolbata. I am a communications professional. I do writing, editing, digital marketing, social media, et cetera, et cetera, mostly in the nonprofit world.
Excellent.
Dr. Marla Parker, you've heard me a lot. I'm a professor at California State University in the Political Science Department and also a co-founder of the Civic and Social Innovation Group on our campus.
I'm Lisa Baxter. I am the Director of Development for After School All-Stars Los Angeles.
I am Anne-Marie Williams, longtime nonprofit professional and the founder of Public Words Project. So, and here we are. So, small talk. Mm-hmm. Small talk happens for a couple of reasons. Small talk happens because we're in a professional environment. We need mm-hmm. to find out about somebody. We're stuck in an elevator with somebody. Mm-hmm. We have someone sitting on the bus next to us and we're trying to get them. It's a holiday party. This seems to be the season of small talk. Mm-hmm. You get pulled into holiday parties, both professional and personal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're in a holiday party that's family and you have to do small talk. So mm-hmm. for me, small talk is, I'm just going to define what small talk is for me. And it's when you are in a room or a situation with a stranger and you have to find out about them, or mm-hmm. it's so uncomfortably quiet that you want to create some sort of dialogue. Mm-hmm. And it's also to develop relationships. Mm-hmm. Networking, I really love going to meet people networking because I love making small talk. Mm-hmm. It's something, Darren laughs. So we're going to find out who's uncomfortable with small talk. Mm-hmm. She raises her hand. Just to share with you guys, my grandfather was a small talk king. He would talk to everybody and anybody. He treated everyone as a complete equal. And I think I'm trying to mirror him, or it's in my DNA.
Yeah.
I remember very clearly going to the Ralphs in Huntington Park and him getting out of the car and just talking to someone standing there, or the produce guy, or someone who's walking in, or just talking to people. And I think when I was younger, it annoyed me because I thought it was weird. But now I think it's just beautiful. And I'm so grateful that I picked up that trait. Mm-hmm. So Darren, what do you think small talk is and how do you feel about it?
I dread small talk, quite frankly. I can do it, but it gets me a little bit anxious. I'm an introvert by nature, so it's I find it a little bit hard. And it's ironic because my dad was actually like your grandpa. Mm-hmm. He was a small talk king.
Yeah.
We couldn't go anywhere in the town where I grew up without him bumping into somebody he knew or striking up a conversation with a complete stranger. So somehow I did not inherit any of his genes. But the thing that I do to try to get over myself, right? Because it's really just, it's in my mind, is I try to focus on the other person so that I don't have to do any as much talking. Mm-hmm. If I can ask a question about something that maybe they're wearing or something, you know, if I'm kind of entering a conversation that's going on at a networking event, I can just sort of, you know, tie into whatever is being said and things.
But I've seen you. You're a shark, so you're good at it. You're good at it.
Yeah. Well, what I do is my worst nightmare or fear, not nightmare, I guess it, because it actually happens in real life, but is you go to a group, like a networking event, there are people already, everybody's already in another conversation and you're just kind of standing there twiddling your thumbs, thinking, la, 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 okay. Yeah. So then what I try to do then is find the one person or two people that are standing by themselves and I'll go over to them and start talking, and that that makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. You're so much kinder. I jam myself right at the end. I do, because I'm like, if you're ignoring the rest of the group, I think it's kind of rude, so I'm just going, I go up and I'm like, I'll hear the subject and I'll say, oh, and I'll just push myself right in the conversation. That's just me.
I have seen you in action and I'm still just amazed. And so similar to your grandfather's, I had a best friend in high school, Adrian Prather, who he's one of those people who, like, you know, you could say he never met a stranger before because he could talk to anybody and he would actually initiate, you know, small talk.
Right.
And, you know, me being an introvert as well, small talk is just, it's hard because for me, I'm always thinking about there has to be a point to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is going to be the end game here, mm-hmm. you know? But also just people asking you about you sometimes, it's kind of like a, mm-hmm. like you want a little bit of distance a little bit as an introvert. But for me, thinking about Adrian and thinking about people like your grandfather, I have come to realize that small talk, it's great professionally because it is like that gateway to larger conversations and, you know, an entree into just better opportunities. But I've also learned just in the everyday, you know, small talk can be life changing. Mm-hmm. You know, it can really be, let's say, that one thing that somebody might need that day, right? You know, because you never know what somebody else is going through. And so if you can just have a small conversation where you talk about someone's hair and how great it is, you know, like even just like tiny things that may not seem like it's much, and it doesn't even have to be about professional gain, you know, it's just that you acknowledge somebody that day, especially if they're not, you know, looking or appearing to be, you know, happy, you know, and you gotta be careful about that, right? But, you know, like I have learned that the power of small talk can be just acknowledging someone's humanity.
That's a good point.
As it says on your shirt?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Jobel. And so just acknowledging someone's humanity in that moment just for a few seconds. But for me also, the challenge with small talk that I'm still having is how do you extricate yourself, right?
That's a good point.
Small talk, right?
That's why God made hands.
Yes.
In the word, excuse me.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So that's my take on small talk.
Lisa? And you bring up a really good point. You know, it's really about, you know, focusing on that person's humanity, because we all know people ask us, well, how are you doing all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And we say fine, but no one really is fine.
Right.
And the reason why we're not open to that is because we probably don't know that person,
mm-hmm.
or we're not, you know, and so that's where I think, you know, when you just asked about small talk, I really came to the conclusion just now that it's really a mindset. It's how you
mm-hmm.
look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just telling you, every single lift, the drive that I take,
yes.
I am sharing my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
They're sharing theirs. And I'm like, well, no, I do engage in small talk. But I think at networking events, it has this very negative connotation
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I think we think that people are just wanting something out of us.
Right.
And
pitchy
that,
sales.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's not, and it's because it's not authentic. So
okay.
I have to change my comment or what I feel about small talk too. I love small talk when it's done authentically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
yeah.
want inauthentic conversations
yes.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awesome because then you get to know a little bit more about
mm-hmm.
that person. Just like, you know, even your colleagues. It's like some colleagues I know more about than others
mm-hmm.
because that's just the, you know, the conversation that I'm pushing on them to find out more. And I think everybody wants
mm-hmm.
to connect. We
mm-hmm.
all want to connect as
yes.
much as we say, oh my God, you know, you could be an introvert or whatever,
yeah.
but
mm-hmm.
you still want to connect with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
So it's just really about, I think, us looking at small talk in a different, from a different lens. That's
yeah.
what I just
yeah.
kind of came up with.
It's
a,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
it was.
That's
awesome
usually
moment.
Your moment. It's now
yeah.
Lisa Baxter moment.
Yeah.
Lisa, you got the
Will you tell people our whole lives? Will you talk about
right.
me? And I'm like, but I just, it's just, you want to connect.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
especially this day and age when, you know, it seems so disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
You want to
yeah.
connect with people.
Yes.
Because
right.
we all really do, are the same in that, in
mm-hmm.
that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even the president guy for me, he probably wants to connect to something. I don't know what, but he wants
mm-hmm.
to connect, right?
No, he's just bypassed that. He's moving
yeah.
on.
Right.
Number 46.
Yeah.
But one thing I have to learn too is privacy. Some people are, it's not a matter of being introvert or shy,
mm-hmm.
it's just they're private.
Privacy, yeah.
And my mother and father are going to hate this right now because they're very private people. And even mentioning this is probably a violation of the privacy. So love you, Mom and Dad, because I know you're listening to the podcast now. So we have 5 listeners. But I've learned to respect that because I've always been very open. So if I'm networking with somebody and I see that it's genuine, like they don't want to answer, I don't push it.
Because
it's about respecting people's space, and some people just want to stay private.
And that's okay.
And that's perfectly okay.
And I think that's also part of small talk too. It's not just the talking part, but you have to read people.
Yes, definitely.
You have to be able to recognize, okay, they're getting uncomfortable, right? Even if they're not expressing that verbally, the small talk, again, is not just about verbal communication, but it's about reading their body language, like reading their faces, so that you know how to navigate that. Because we're talking about small talk, but like done in an incorrect way, it is a big deal. We can have big consequences.
It can end relationships,
right?
Professionally, potential ones, past ones, current ones. It could just kill it if you do it the wrong way.
You know, and being a fundraiser for, oh my goodness, going on 11 years now, I feel like it's also a study in psychology. It's like you really have to look at people and how engaged they are in the conversation or what have you. And it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm at the point, I'm 42 years old, I'm not going to waste your time. So if you're not engaged, it's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. It's okay. And then even, you know, to me, hugging, you know, sometimes I'm a hugger, but people are not, and I respect that. So I'm always like,
So
if someone hugs me, then great. You know, I mean, even though I did hug you when you came in, but still, because I felt like I met you or I've known you already, but you know what I'm saying? It's a little bit different. I wouldn't do that, you know, just on the onset.
Right.
So I think that's also part of it, is like, how comfortable can you be with someone that you just met or what have you? So it's just treading lightly and seeing what's what, and then not, you know, taking offense to it if they're just not
exactly
good. I know where I stand with you, and that's what I really want to know, you know.
Right.
I was talking to Lisa earlier when we first sat down, that I had a meeting on Monday with a gentleman who, sometimes when you're authentically listening, you can intimidate somebody. Because I watched this gentleman's eyes just shift. And it was like one of the, like from one of those sci-fi movies where the laser was going back and forth. And I was just like, because I was leaning forward and I had my hand on my chin. And you guys know me. I'm just like, tell me, I want it. Because I genuinely want to know. Even if you're an asshole, I genuinely want to know. Because I just find people fascinating. And I could see the closer I was like this, his eyes were think, right, left, right, left, right, left. So then I had to adjust my body. I leaned back, and it went ding. And then said, then I scooted the chair back from the table, and I opened my legs and put my arms on the table like this, and it went ding, and then eye contact. Being that authentic and being that sincere and wanting to know about this person, he wasn't comfortable with it.
Right.
So, I did the adjusting, and then the conversation and the flow changed. So it was kind of handy.
I think a lot of people are used to communicating on a very superficial level, or behind kind of a facade, you know. So I think to maybe, who knows how long it had been since somebody had actually really listened to him, you know.
I have one more situation to tell you guys, and then we're going to jump into more of your experiences. I want to talk about bad small talk situations. Okay. So I'm going to share one that I had with you. No, I didn't have with you. I had at Chenoa. Is that the Detroit store?
Chenoa.
At the Grove. It was my Jennifer Spinner, who was in from New York. We did this podcast with her. We went in there because we both love bicycles and watches. And it's a great American product. So we go in there, and there's this young brother there, and like they had an astronaut pin that I got years ago when I graduated from college. So it was last year. No, but long enough for this young man to say, oh, that pin's that old?
Wow.
And I looked at him, and I just like smiled. And this is where small talk goes awry, okay? So I was just like, there's two paths I could have took. I could have been like, you motherfucker, you know? And I was like, this poor kid. And then he panicked. He started backpedaling out of respect. And I was just like, this is where small talk and using your public words is so important, because he could have lost the sale. He could have lost the client. He could have. So I turned around and I said, well, old. And I looked at him. I go, is that the best word to use here? He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, well, you don't look old. And I'm like, I didn't know this pen has been around. Or I thought this pen was just recently made. So I ended up kept, I talked to him. I kept talking to him. So I found out that his name is Mo. Oh, he's got a podcast he's starting. So I invited him to be, to podcast with me.
Awesome.
And then I invited him to join the list. So I turned so I kept small talking with him, kept engaging him, and we turned a negative. It wasn't even that bad of a negative for me, but it's just like, I know someone would have been like, choke hold, put it down, you know. He's lucky it was me, and I'm like, oh, I don't care, because I don't look old, I don't act old, one day I'll act my age, but, you know, I am old enough to be take offense to that, but, so, yeah, that's where small talk, I had to pick the path for it. I could have picked a fight, and made it negative, or turned it into positive, so, you guys listening to this podcast, Mo, you're going to be on this podcast very soon, young man.
That's right.
So, tell me about a bad experience, or that you turned into a positive one, or just, let's talk about it.
Bad experience. I think... You know, sometimes people mean well when you're in a conversation, you don't know each other, you know, perhaps I'll ask some of the other person a question, or and then they'll ask me a question, and then I'll start to talk about a situation or something. And then the other person means to be show empathy, so they interrupt and they say, "Oh, I totally understand how you feel. This just happened to me recently, blah, 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 blah." And then they kind of hijack the conversation. So I think, you know, people mean well to to try to empathize, but I think that that's kind of a little gaffe that I see happen a lot.
I've
done that before too, so I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've become more aware of that because you just want, you're trying to connect, that's your intention, and then you're like, well, wait a minute, that's not, and you know, so it's for me it's an ongoing thing and not something that's intentional, but something that you literally, like, I literally have to be like, oh my god, why am I doing this? It's just because you want to, like, talk about it, and then it's like, just shut up, Lisa, shut up and listen, just listen.
Well, that's it. After that happens, right, it makes me stop and think, because I know I've done that before too, but yes, I have become much more aware, especially after I had a you know, my most recent situation where that happened. It was, this person kept going on and on and on, and it was actually a really kind of emotionally fraught situation for me, so that made it even worse. You know, because they started out asking, you know, knowing it was a hard situation, and then they just, he turned it around and went on and on for 15 or 20 minutes about his mom and whatever, her situation and whatever, and so I was really about, you know, after about 5 or 10 minutes, I was like, please just go away, go away, go away. And I couldn't get out of it gracefully, like you were saying earlier.
So I'm just going to tell you, you don't have to be graceful in these situations. If someone puts you in a situation where you're uncomfortable, you have every right as a woman, as a human being, as an American, to say, that's enough. Thank you. Goodbye. Yeah. Step away.
Right. Good point. Well, it's been great.
Thank you for sharing your experience with me.
And I'm saying that too, out of wisdom and age and experience, because I think as women, we all still are socialized and, like, we will keep bearing the brunt of something that's painful or negative.
Yes.
You don't have to.
Right.
And you can, I've been in many situations where it's just like, okay, that's enough. Thank you so much. And if they're not taking the social cues and they're just so narcissistic or uncomfortable or whatever it is that they just keep machine gunning at you verbally, hey, that's great. Thanks so much. I'm going to go to the restroom. I'm going to get a coffee, I'm gonna go jump off the roof. And then
just not with you.
Yeah. But I just want to say that to the women in this room and whoever's listening, if you're in a social situation, you don't have to.
Right.
It's part of your contract. If you're not engaged and it's not serving your purpose, or it's not a give and take, when it stops being a give and take, adios. Right. Sayonara. See you later.
And I've seen you in action do that too. And again, like, I am always just like, man, she is so good. But I had I'm thinking about my negative small talk experience and how I had to turn it around. And so this was several years ago. I was at a medical spa, visiting a friend, and there was a skincare expert who was there. So we were just, you know, talking about skincare and things like that, and she mentioned how she has Native American and Caucasian heritage. And, okay, she didn't necessarily appear to look that way, because she had blonde hair and blue eyes, and I was just like, okay, you know, and so when she told me that, there was this surprise look on my face, right? And I had to catch myself because I'm like, I know better, right? Like, I know that people can just present differently, you know? And so even if she didn't necessarily, quote unquote, look Native American, right?
That doesn't mean.
I was like, oh, okay. And then similar to what Darren was saying, like I had to recover and I started to talk. And I was like, well, you know, and she knew what was happening. She's like, you know, I get it. I don't look like that. I understand, right? And then I was like, well, you know what? People mislabel me sometimes too, right? I get it. And I'm like, you know, I'm Black. And then she was like, really? I was like, yeah. And she was like, so did something skip a generation if you look like this? Because fair skin, curly hair, and then I was like, okay. Yeah.
Hello, wall. We're
stepping
into the
right,
right,
okay,
right.
Territory. And so I was like, let me get my, you know, natural hair Instagram accounts out, okay, so I can show her. So I literally got my phone
out. Black card.
Right, and I was like, no, actually, you know, like both my parents are Black, and we come in all shades and textures, the whole bit. And so I literally pulled out my phone and showed her accounts that I would follow that show, you know, Black women with like this great fabulous hair and like in all kind of shades and, you know, just Instagram accounts kind of celebrating Black beauty. And I was like scrolling through like, see all this? Come in all shades, right? And so, and that was a learning moment, you know, for her. And I could have gotten
and
for me too, right? Because I'm like, I really could have gotten like highly, highly like put off, you know? But I didn't, right? Because whenever I tell people that, they are just like, no, she didn't. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, it happens. But I mean, fair play. Like I showed my, I guess like my shock too, you know, when she mentioned her ethnic heritage, but it was a learning moment, I think, for both of us. And so you just have to be conscientious and sometimes like be highly mindful of when I'm in a bad small talk situation, do I have a choice, right? You have to kind of sometimes stop and think about, I have a choice to kind of go off the rails, like, you know, choke hold somebody, right? Or I have a choice to turn this, right? I have a choice to turn this into a teachable moment,
right?
You know? And so that maybe that's just like the teacher in me, but yeah. So.
And I think, that same thinking is, you know, what has, I guess, spurred my situations. It's mostly around where I live. Whenever I tell someone that I come from South Central Los Angeles, the look on their faces is always like classic. I even had someone that was also African American say, well, what was it like being poor? And I was like, wow. Now, I will tell you, when I grew up, I wouldn't consider us rich or anything like that. We did initially, I did live in a one bedroom apartment. Yes, we had rats, roaches and all that, but there was not one moment that I thought that I was poor. And I feel that that's because of my parents. You know, my parents are immigrants, you know, they came here with nothing, but they built a life for themselves. But you know, and for us, we always lived in the thought process of abundance, not one of poverty. And that's why I don't, even like, you know, the work that I do now, I'm not looking at it as a handout. These kids are asking to, you know, be empowered. They're asking to, you know, show them the way, light the way for them, right? And so, you know, those are the conversations that I have with people that are always interesting just to see the look on their face when I say that I'm from South Central, not South LA like the gentrifiers will say, because I'm from the OG 213 area code. So, you know, I know I had to throw that in there because it's serious, but it comes from that. And when I say I am proud to be from South Central because it really shaped me into who I am, it able to really give me a sense of persistence and never giving up. And always being proud that, you know, even if I don't have a seat at the table, then I can make my own table.
There you go.
I mean, so I think, you know, when you have, I've always been able to turn that around and not be, I mean, of course, you know, you get upset, but at the same time, you don't know my hood like I do. Mm-hmm. You don't know the people that come from there. So mm-hmm. how can I get mad at you for mm-hmm. something you do not know? Mm-hmm. So it's always telling them, you know, it was just a great sense of community. Yes, there were bad things happening. There's bad things happening all the time. Mm-hmm. But the things that I've learned, it's like I've taken those into the boardroom with me. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just always been, I love where I come from. I represent that. But like you said, it's mm-hmm. doing, you know, giving them a teachable moment, mm-hmm. Especially in those moments where, you know, they are coming with their unconscious biases.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't know. So right. I got to tell them.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we just took a wide sweep of small talk going awry. Mm-hmm. What has been your most positive experience with small talk?
Anne-Marie. No, wait, no, seriously. Wow. Yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind.
I didn't care, I swear to God.
No, I mean, that's just one of the first things that came to mind because we were introduced kind of via through small talk. Mm-hmm. I just stood up one day and said, I'm doing this thing at CSU LA. And Anne-Marie, you know, she was like the first one to stand up and say, I want to help you. And then after that, we had our first initial small talk. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, we are now here taking over the radio waves, podcast waves. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been over a year already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I feel like I've known you longer than that now.
I just don't know how to. This is a small talk moment. How do I take that?
It's just feels
like, it's been an arduous year. Or like, we're sister soulmates. It feels like longer than
sister soulmates.
We'll go with the second
sister
one.
Soulmates.
There we go.
Yeah,
there you go. But this is a perfect example of how mm-hmm. one can interpret something very sweetly offered mm-hmm. into something else. That's mm-hmm. why you have to mm-hmm. step back. And, yeah. and that's very sweet. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mine wasn't you.
Oh, I'm just kidding. What about you, champagne today?
go ahead, Darren. What about you?
I can't think of anything like a specific conversation off the top of my head, but just moments like Marla just shared about where you happen to talk about something and it makes a connection that you mm-hmm. never would have known about otherwise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just very serendipitous and mm-hmm. It could turn into something really cool or, you know, even something small, but mm-hmm. it just, you know, it definitely has that benefit, you know, mm-hmm. as much as I dread it sometimes, yeah. it can turn out really well.
Mine mm-hmm. has been so positive and weird. Like, I've had, like, you know, you have a small talk and, like, there's this high, like, yeah, we're going to do this and this. And you follow up and you're like, hello, is your phone working? Hello? Hello.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I've had, you know, and then those conversations have turned into something really wonderful. Mm-hmm. I met Lisa mm-hmm. through small talk at an event up in the Hollywood Hills.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It was a small talk because mm-hmm. we were up one kind.
Yeah.
We were in a bowl of milk. So, but the small talk, we've been friends mm-hmm. for a while now.
Yeah.
And then,
Make-A-Wish days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The green light days. And then, I will be kinder. I was joking around.
It's okay.
I remember specifically the day I met you because, I remember the day I met you when our friend Jerry
yes.
was like, here, be friends.
That was because of small talk.
Because of
right?
small talk, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we discovered a shared love of ramen and
yep.
we
yeah.
all worked in nonprofit
yeah,
communications. And there you go. So the rest is history.
See, and yeah, and then small talk. Ramen is a great small talk starter. If you want a hint for ramen, use ramen as a tool because everyone thinks it's that cup of noodle ramen.
Right.
It's a
no.
whole other Japanese.
I don't like the pork.
World.
I like it with the chicken broth.
Definitely.
We got to go because I found a place. We went to
yes.
in K-Town.
Please take me because I
Ooh,
love
can
ramen.
Can that be our next sister?
Our next meetup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do a podcast over there
Oh my
too.
God. That yeah. chicken pork broth. Oh, Lord have mercy. But that's it's a great small talk.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
But I defer back to Marla because I remember we were at the X Prize
yeah.
and, you know, when you go to Cal State Los Angeles and someone says Cal State LA, what? Who? Mm-hmm. What? Because there's so few of us mm-hmm. Or it's kind of like being gay. You just stay in the closet, you know. It's just like you're like a golden eagle in the closet. So when someone's
yeah.
like, "I'm a golden eagle," I'm like, "Oh my god!" When you said that, I remember very clearly because I was like, "She's really a fashionista for being a professor." Because my professors weren't like that. I was just like, you know,
right.
But I remember walking up to you and talking to you. You were so kind. And you were so comfortable with small talk, which I find fascinating because you say that you it's a struggle for you. So,
yeah.
And this has been a small talk that's changed my life. So thank you so much.
Yeah. That's the same for like all of us too. Yeah. And I would have to say like really all my life because everything that I've done has been because of some small conversation that's happened. Mm-hmm. And then most recently, I met someone through the Association of Fundraising Professionals. I recently became a member in March. It's crazy because I've been a fundraiser going on 11 years, but awesome. I just became a member. Wow. And then I spoke at a young professionals event. And from that, this person nominated me to the board. And I actually am going to be
amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's, I think, just from small talk, me sharing, you know, she's like, you just seem like the person that like raises your hands. It's like, what's up? Let's do this. And so I, you know, just to have someone else say that, I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, my whole life has been that. I mean, just us being here, the Cyber Circle, everything, you know, and because we're on the struggle bus a little bit in the beginning. Because we're like, I know Amory's life. Yeah. But,
struggle bus.
But it's been, my whole life has been that. So I'm very blessed.
So we're going to wrap up soon, but I just want to give some tips. So like one of the things when I help coach and teach people about small talk, and the biggest thing I've heard, and we've actually talked about it earlier, is being authentic. Mm-hmm. And to not be so pitchy and salesy or so vampire-ish, you know, like I want something from you. Mm-hmm. Is to just, you have to be in the right mindset. Right. Like, I won't go and network if I'm not in the right mindset.
Yeah,
because
yes.
It is a disaster if you're not in the right mindset. So I will politely excuse myself. But so one thing is to prepare, and then maybe like meditating, breathing, going for a walk, having a strong cup of coffee, or for some people, a shot of tequila. Just one, folks, just one. Do not get drunk and network. It will be a nightmare.
Right.
But I often tell people I work with or coaching, like I told Marla's students this, find something on the person that you find intriguing and genuinely ask a question about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you also mentioned, Lisa, that people love talking about themselves.
Yes.
I mean, some people like to talk more than listen. Mm-hmm. So just find that, you know, read the person's body language. Mm-hmm. They're sitting there with their arms crossed, or they're pulling away from you. Mm-hmm. That means, or they're not even making eye contact. Right. Then, you know, you have to do one or two things.
Right.
You have to engage them and win.
Yeah.
Or you have to say, oh, gotta go and move on, like you said, because you don't want to waste anybody's time. But but find a space where you're genuinely authentic and you want to learn about somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that'll be great networking. And also helps with small talk. And it can be anything like a name on a t-shirt, style of hair, an earring, shade of lipstick, a watch, a cut on the arm. Your shoelace is untied. I mean, you really, there are no rules with this. Mm-hmm. You just have to find something you're genuinely, for me, I wear glasses, you wear glasses. So I will be like, and people will forget they're wearing glasses. I'm like, oh my God, those are really cool glasses. And they're like, what? You know, cause they're on you, so you forget. So, and I've had some great conversations talking about glasses. So, so just find something genuine, ask that question, watch how they respond to the question, and then move on. Mm-hmm. Either move on in the small talk with them, because you find a comfort level, or move on, like get to step in, go the other direction, in a very kind way. But the people, it's a great way to authentically learn about somebody else. Mm-hmm. What are some of the tips you have, Lisa?
I would say, you know, I think always now I've gotten the practice of researching. If I'm going to a networking event, I love when they say, do you want your name, you know, placed in, like, you know, for so everyone can see who's coming. Mm-hmm. Because then I look at all the people and determine, okay, which out of these people do I want to meet? Two or three people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then for me personally, I want to be sure that I have something to give them when I do meet with them. Because then that means that we can connect on that level. You know, it means that, okay, I'm not just trying to get something out of you, but I know that I have something to give, you know, in return and all of that. So I think that's, you know, for me, that's like worked. Also, again, just asking questions about them, learning more about them, and not being the only one to talk, because I can talk to Kingdom Come, but I know that about myself. So I'm like, shut up, Lisa, listen, and just take that in. And then remember those things. And then if you remember it's their birthday, they're like, oh my gosh, remember, because they said that, or I had, you know, they have like, you know, what, five kids or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Those little things, it really does make a difference.
And we talked about this earlier. Also, it's like when you're, there's the small talk and there's the networking, but there's also the key factors of following up. We were talking about the art of a handwritten note. Do not forget that, guys, especially now in the age of tech and just everything automated. A handwritten note
It goes a long way.
So much more nowadays than it did back in the day.
It's gold.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are your, some of your pointers for a small talk?
So if I'm at a work networking event, I feel, you know, I feel more open to ask, you know, what brings somebody there, what they're doing now, what they're interested in, but, you know, kind of more specifically about work.
Right.
Something I read recently, if you're in a non-working, non-work networking situation, you know, a lot of times the first thing we'll think to ask is, oh, what do you do? You know, but it's kind of, it's sort of, you know, and it made sense to me. The article was making the point that you're kind of, I don't know, putting, not a judgment necessarily, but it's sort of, you're sort of classifying this person, but like defining them by what they do. And there's so much more to people. So this evening I'm going to a little holiday party and I was just thinking, I have to remember to that not let that be my, my lead question when I have to do the dreaded small talk thing, but just, you know, maybe more what you were saying, Anne-Marie, something about what they're wearing or, you know, something that I overheard them saying or, you know, just, you know, what do you like to do? You know, what are you into?
Tell me
whatever.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Or even more open. Yeah, tell me about yourself. Yeah.
Tell, what's your sign, man?
Yeah.
What's your sign?
Do you like ramen?
Right.
So, is your moon rising? You know who the old person in the group is. So Marla, tell us your pointers before we wrap this up.
So what's coming to me is, I think, be aware of your body language and facial expressions. Yeah, because I think sometimes it is so easy to think that we have a pleasant face because it's our facial expressions that can open the gateway and to make someone even want
to
approach you, you know.
But that's a good point.
You know, but especially if maybe you're like, you're an introvert and you get uncomfortable in crowds, that could definitely show up in your face and like your tense shoulders and things like that, right? So I always have to be aware of not having resting worried face, resting anxiety face, you know,
or you need to talk to me,
right? Or like, you know, or like the RBF, right?
Yes.
And so I just practice just trying to have a slight smile on my face, you know. And I think if you are aware of that, so even as I'm talking to someone, I'm at the same time thinking, hey, have a little slight smile on your face, you know, like just make sure that you have like, you know, kind eyes, right? Yeah. Like things like that. So
smiles,
yes, thank you. Yeah. Smiles.
Oh, I like that.
Yes,
I
like that.
Because again, that can be the way, that can be the entry point for someone to even want to talk to you, right? Because if you're not, then you could miss opportunities simply because you looked unapproachable, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
That is a really good point. If I may just add, you know, you guys don't have to worry about this right now, even you, but I feel like as a, at a certain age, you know, you're, even if you feel happy, your face might not look that way. So.
Oh, I was like, I'm happy.
Right. I'm like, where's Darren going with this? Once again, am I going to be offended?
So, seriously, right? So, you know, just that's a good point to just sort of you kind of have to be proactive in, in making a more happy looking or pleasant smiling face because you know your face muscles aren't going to cooperate forever.
Oh my god. Well, I have to tell you, thank you so much
to you
gaggle of gals that I adore. So, so to wrap it up, be in the mood.
Network. Be in the mood to network.
Be in the right mindset, the right mood to network. Yeah. Find something to be authentic. Mind your blocking in your body, your face. And also, last thing I'm saying, it is your responsibility. Not the other person's responsibility. It's your responsibility to do the communicating and to be receptive of the communicating. So you bring up really good points about resting worried face, body language going forward or back, and being in the bringing in the right mindset. That is all our responsibility. It is our job to be good communicators and to be good listeners. And that's the mindset we should go into with all small talk, whether it's professional, private, personal, intimate. Well, that's another podcast, and that'll be at night, and we will have martinis on that conversation. So, thank you so much to all of you. Remember
thank
those
you.
Pointers,
thank
and
you. Thank you.
Happy holidays, and enjoy the small talk. It won't kill you.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.